Hi, well, welcome to our exclusive podcast with Graham Onions. Today we're going to talk about possibly one of the most important games in Durham's history. Durham have only been a first-class county since 1992, and 2007 was the year they won the first trophy, and for any club that's an important breakthrough, Graham.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it put us on the map. And it was just the manner that we won, really. It was just such an amazing day, such a mix of emotions with it going into the next day as well, and you know the journey down there as well, but all, of course the Otis Gibson season and him just putting match-winning performances and after match-winning performances, and the obviously the Friends Provident final was no different. And I think from a local lad, it was just an amazing day, absolutely amazing day to come away with a win. And I think every time we come towards the changing rooms now and go up the steps and we see the big painting that's there and the big picture, and you look at that every single time, it just brings back some amazing memories.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the style in which you were, and I think that was possibly the most impressive thing about it. I mean, you look at that Hampshire side and it was full of star names. You had Shane Warne captaining, Kevin Peterson was playing, Michael Lum and John Crawley were opening, Dimi Mascarenhas, who of course was a fantastic one day player, was playing, and Durham, you were without your star player. Steve Harmison was injured and unable to play, but the way that Phil Mustard in particular set about the start of that innings just sort of showed that there was no fear in that Durham side.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, and I think, to be honest, we were probably thinking, which way is it going to go? I'm not sure actually who won the toss, but it was a day where things just seemed to go our way. So Hampshire did win the toss and decided to field, and I think the start that we got going, obviously we lost Michael Divin early, which was a bit of a worry, and the way that Phil Mustard and Kyle Curtis just took the attack to them, I don't think they bowled badly. I generally don't. I think we just took the attack to them. And I remember Phil Mustard was hit one shot. I might have been off Chris Tremlett at the time, and he hit it right to the longest boundary, and we were watching, just thinking that's a massive hit, and just little things in the game, you know, that set the tone, just gave us so much confidence. Of course, 50 over cricket, it's a long time. It was at the time where people still played to get themselves in. He had a bit of a pinch hit at the top. I mean, nowadays it's changed a lot, where people just keep on going. But at the time, to get over 300 was a big score.
Yeah. I mean, Phil Mustard in particular, I mean, it's probably no coincidence that his international career came on the back of that innings. I think that sort of opened a lot of people's eyes to his real ability. Was there a lot of talk beforehand about setting that tone, or was that just the way that those individuals went about things?
No, I think throughout the season, I think Phil Mustard, and what he does best, to be honest, is when he doesn't think about it and he just goes out there and hits the ball. That's what he does. You know, he's an aggressive player. He can play pretty much every shot. He hits the ball down the ground and cuts and pulls well. So, and we know that on his day, he can take attacks apart. That was his day. You know, he played fantastically well. He played fantastically well. He got 49 runs, but it was the intent that he showed and the belief that we got. And actually, Kyle Curtis, he played the innings of the day, really. You expect it from Chanderpaul, or you expect it from Collingwood, or Divinuto, or Benkenstein. You know, I mean, that's an unbelievable side that we had, strength and depth. And Kyle Curtis, I remember he hit one ball, might actually been off Chris Tremlett again. He bowled short and pulled it right into the top of the stand for a massive six. And you know, we just had that feeling about us that we can. I think we got the 35 overs, and we had a chance of getting a big score. And it's nice as a tail ender, and not having to go out there and put the pads on and have a bat, really. It was great. We could also put them under pressure when they batted, and it was just a fantastic game to, you know, set the tone and carry it through into our second innings of bowling at them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing that summed it up, the sort of, as you say, there were a lot of experienced players in that side, but for Mustard and Kurtz, two of the stars, it was a bit of an unusual experience for them. And when Phil was out, LBW, he'd made 49 of 38 balls, so as you say, he'd given the innings real momentum, but he'd actually forgotten that there were there was TV umpiring involved, and he was actually walking off the field, wasn't he?
I remember looking at us, and bless him, he was looking at us, he was like, well, what shall I do? What do I do? And because I'm not sure, he was out LBW, I remember, and the ball might have pitched outside leg stump. So we were all shouting and going, refer it. But I mean, at the time, we didn't have referrals that were like 15 seconds. You know, it was just like, well, do you want to have a bit of a chat about it? And it was all a little bit delayed. And I remember it was all frantic. I remember we were shouting, saying, well, you can refer it if you want to refer it. But of course, he walked off and he was standing there and he was walking back and he was going back to the changing rooms and walked back to the crease. And of course, eventually, I think it might have been Gould, that was the umpire. He just said, look, Colonel, you're out, son, in a Cockney accent, and he was like, oh, okay, then never mind. But I mean, but from when we lost that wicket, the momentum that we just kept on going was fantastic. And also, I mean, we keep talking about Aldous Gibson. I'll never forget the time as I want to mention Chris Trumlett again. He bowled a beamer. I remember he bowled a beamer at Aldous Gibson at the end of the innings. And I remember Otis almost threw his bat at him. It was one of those priceless moments. And I know Chris Tremblay really well, and he's not that type of character. It was a genuine mistake. So anyway, next ball in the slot, hit it for six, and it was just great. I mean, everything in the first innings of a game, in the final, when people are nervous, it couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, those runs, Mustard 49, Kurtz 61, and Chanderpaul 78, just set the platform that then allowed Benkenstein and Gibson to come in. The hit four sixes between them. Benkenstein 61 not out from 43 balls, and Gibson 15 from 7. That's the kind of a textbook one day innings, isn't it? You set the platform and then you let the guys coming in later on just throw the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being in a strong position going into the last 15 overs was key. You know, obviously when at 220 for four, we can really, you know, set the foundations for the likes of your Benkensteins and your Collingwoods to come in and just give that real momentum and a bit of impetus going into our second innings. And the lads, to be fair, took advantage of that. I mean, what would have been a good score on that wicket after being put in? We probably would have took 250. Lords, as a rule, is a good batting wicket. We wanted to get. Once again, you don't say, right, a minimum is 250. That's putting people under pressure, because in finals, you just never know. You never know. I mean, it could have been one of those days, if we got 180, we potentially could have still won the game, because it's just Lord's final, nerves are around, you just never know. But of course, getting up close to 320, it was a huge score.
Yeah, and of course, there was another factor which sort of... I guess added to the drama of it in the end, and that was the weather that was around. You weren't able to get Hampshire's innings in on the day.
Yeah, and the one thing from the day that was disappointing is that the fans had to go home, and that was so disappointing. And we kind of, I mean, we didn't have celebrations on that Saturday night, but we had them. Just because the fans were there, we invited them to the hotel, and of course it was a little bit subdued because we still had them a few wickets down, but we hadn't won, you know. Yes. and that's the hard part, really, because we wanted to celebrate, but you know, we were so close. But you never know, as we keep saying, you know, the tail enders come back these days, so that we were just never sure. It was amazing. I mean, an amazing Saturday, and then obviously going to Sunday, it was a bit subdued, but you know, we deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, you had them 158 for five overnight, but just to emphasise what you were saying, there was still just coming up for 18 overs left, and Nick Pothas and Dimi Mascarenhas at the crease, both of whom could score quick runs.
Yeah, I mean, Dimi is obviously played for England and can hit the ball at the park. I think actually the way it went is Liam Plunkett got a couple of wickets early in the morning and really kind of set the tone again, really. Obviously, we talked about set the tone early with the ball. You know, as you do the standard things, you know, give yourself a chance with the bat, and also, you know, try and set the tone with the ball. And he was, laying ball nicely on that day as well. And it was just a real team performance.
I mean, things have been started by Otis Gibson. You touched on before. Otis had an absolutely unbelievable 2007, and it just continued into this game. Took a wicket with the very first ball, Michael Lum, who's particularly dangerous one-day player. Then had Sean Irvin, and then the wicket you probably wanted most of all, Kevin Peters and LBW, all out of the way within the first nine overs.
Yeah, and that's and it. To be honest, I remember being down at third man for those wickets, over their changing rooms. So, it just happened so fast. It just seemed to happen so quickly. You know, the first wicket happened, and then the next wicket happened, and obviously KP got out, and Otis Gibson was just like running down to, like, what looked as though was towards me, down at third man as I was running towards him, and it was. I don't care who you are, you get those big players out and you generally feel you've got a great chance of winning the game. And yes, there's still had batters to come, but I think deep down, to get them three down early, they're big players as well, as we generally believe that this was going to be our day. Of course, as I said, you know, they did have big players to come, but I think Otis throughout that season was just an absolute star. You know, he became a real crowd favourite with the members. You generally felt as though you were going to get a wicket every ball, and that can be either with an overseas from a spinner, but he had that from just pure swing seam and just drive to want to keep on getting better and better. Of course, he didn't play much more after that, but he just had an amazing season. I mean, this game was tailor made for him.
Yeah, and to finish the first innings the way he did, and then start the second innings the way he did, it must just give the rest of you so much belief that we're going to win this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the way that we obviously started the innings, and then the way that we finished the innings with Otis obviously batting, and then the way that we started the innings with the ball was just fantastic. I mean, he just, as I said, you know, you just generally felt as though something was going to happen, and I don't mean something as in like you could go for runs. You just generally felt as though he was going to get wickets every ball, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, you came on first change in that game and took another important wicket, Michael Carberry. I guess at that stage, things were just steamrolling in your favour as a side.
Yeah, I mean, I'd only been bowling for a few years, obviously make my debut in 2004, and I remember I was nervous, and I remember at the beginning of the game is we arrived on the Friday and we I think it might have been raining, so they said if the weather gets better, we might actually put another batsman in, which is Gordon Mutchell was waiting on the wings. We knew Harmy had pulled a hamstring, so he was never going to play. So of course I was lying in bed praying that I would play. Gordon Mutchell, I might have actually been in room with him. He was praying that he would play, because you want to play the big games, you want to influence big occasions, and we knew it was going to be a packed out crowd. And the way it worked, you know, Collie went down, and he obviously had always told Mutchell that he wasn't playing. He said, "Oh, Graham, you're going to play." Straight away, you feel great. You feel nervous, but you just feel fantastic. And you know, from playing in a Lords final against, you know, Shane Warne and these legends of the game, is that they're the games that you want to play. And you know, I was no different. I was excited, I was nervous, and obviously when I got that wicket of Carberry bowled, I was delighted. I was like, I've got it in my house, I've got it saved, and I've got it on a DVD, and something that that we'll never forget. I mean, I remember we got DVDs made, we got books and things like that, and that's how big it was to the club. And of course, we've had a lot of success since then, which is credit to the club. But that one there, all the hard work had gone into winning that day, and it was something that the players will never forget.
And we talked about the style in which you won it, but as you say, you know, some of the stars of the team, like Benkenstein and Otis Gibson, played really important parts. But I guess important for the whole ethos of the club as well, that the platform was laid by two academy lads, Mustard and Kurtzer, and that the final blows were delivered by Liam Plunkett. So the club's homegrown players have made an important contribution to this win.
Yeah, they do. I mean, people forget Collie. He's he's homegrown as well, and yeah, we didn't see a great deal of him because he obviously played a lot for England, but he was catalyst to our success, really. I mean, he was obviously, him and Bengenstein were very close, and they had a good captaincy and vice captaincy going on. But as you said, I mean, Durham have always been a county that support, give opportunities to young lads. And yeah, ultimately, you've got to be good enough. You've got to be able to take your opportunities, but you have to be given that opportunity to begin with. You know, there's a lot of players that were waiting in the wings, and I've obviously been very lucky that Jeff Cook has given me an opportunity and to play in these big games. And yeah, I mean, of course, you look at these stars, and these stars helped us win a lot of trophies around about that era. But this one here was, there was a lot of young lads from our academies that have came through and got given an opportunity and actually proved to the club that they were good enough.
Yeah, and it just adds to the romance a little bit that Durham won their first major trophy at Lords, which is obviously such a special place for any cricketer to play.
Yeah, it is. It's the best place to play. I mean, you ask anybody what the best ground is around the circuit. You know, what the best meals are, what the best, you know, you get drinks on arrival, you get, you know, everything, you get people carrying your bags. It's just as someone that, you know, someone travelling from the northeast and just want to play some cricket and stuff, you know, you go to Lords and it's just a completely different world. It's great, it's what it's all about. And of course, it would have been bitterly disappointing, and I wouldn't have these memories if we hadn't won. But to get to the final at such a young county was amazing. I think we deserved that success. It put us on the map, and you know, from that day onwards, I think it just gave us that belief to keep on winning games. Our performances in all forms of the game have got better, and the supporters just keep on, it's been better and better as well, really. So it really was a special day for many reasons.
And we've talked in the past, in one of the earlier podcasts, about you made your England debut at Lords. It's a place that has always brought the best out of you, so it's probably no surprise that it's part of your benefit celebrations this year.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've got a dinner there. I obviously made my debut there, which went fantastically well. I was getting 5 wickets, get my name on the memory on the board, and you know, I remember turning around and holding the ball up to mum and dad being there. That's something which I'll never forget. If I could do one thing again, my wife's going to kill me for this, because obviously I would get married again. But I would, you know, from cricketing points of view, I would do that. You know, it you know, you got goosebumps. It was fantastic. Obviously going to the final, the Friends Program final, but also the Ashes, you know, in 2009. And you know, I remember coming down the steps, whether or not I was going out the ball or bat, and people, you know, in their blazers and their colourful ties and stuff, and literally shouting at you, saying, like, you know, come on. It's as close as, or as best an atmosphere as I've ever been involved with, and that's before you even get on the field. And of course, when you get on the field, you have you can hear, like, that buzz of atmosphere, and it's just such a special place, you know, old but modern in certain areas. It's just an amazing place, and it's going to be proud. Obviously, on the 8th of July, I've got my dinner down there. It's going to be quite strange, because I'll probably end up standing up and making a speech where normally I'm, you know, people are shouting at me and stuff like that, or saying that I could still get heckled with my speeches. But you know, the Wednesday, the 8th of July, is going to be a special day for me too.
Thanks, Graham, for sharing those memories with us. I'm sure they bring back a lot of good memories for the Durham fans listening. And just a reminder that if you want to learn more about any of the events in Graham Onion's benefit year, not just his dinner at Lords, you can find them out at www.grahamonionsbenefityear.co.uk. Thanks and goodbye.